This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour as another trading week is underway. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Miriam Sobe. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny and very warm for our AccuWeather forecast today. High of 88 degrees, closer to 80 at the lakefront tonight. Mainly clear and warm. Lows ranging from 63 in a few western suburbs to 72 at the lakefront. And tomorrow, sunshine mixing with clouds, hot and more humid. High of 90 degrees. 85 degrees right now at O'Hare. It's 84 at Midway, 82 at the lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, it's a brand new week, but we're still talking about Turkey and Tesla, and the Dow is sinking 153 points, or 0.2%, down to 25,160. NASDAQ lower by 24, and the S&P down 13. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index sinking almost 1%. Turkish President Erdogan's plan to bring back his country's economy is to ease rules on banks, but analysts say it's too little too late. Turkey's lira has lost about a quarter of its value against the dollar. Economists warn the situation there could spread to other emerging markets. As for Tesla, some clarity from CEO Elon Musk on where the financing would come from to take the car maker private. Musk says there's been interest from Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund going back 2 years. In a blog post, Musk said the fund recently bought a 5% stake in Tesla. Now, meantime, the SEC is said to be intensifying its scrutiny of the company and its CEO in the wake of the tweet last week. Tesla shares are down 0.2% to $3.53. Oil is sinking 2.5% now, falling below $66 a barrel. Back to you, Cisco and Miriam.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, lots going on, especially as it relates to Turkey. Tom Hudson's going to talk with us about the crisis going on in that nation. Retail doing well at the back-to-school season. And Aldi continues to grow its share. What kind of an impact is that going to have on other grocery chains? Also, Stock Picker Monday, an investing pro will join us to give you some advice for your portfolio. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It appears back-to-school sales this year will surpass projections. We'll cover that in our next segment. Right now, though, global concerns and reports from major retailers are among the items expected to impact markets this week. We welcome back to the program Tom Hudson, Week Ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services, based in Miami. Tom, welcome back to the show. Let's begin with Turkey, as things have been volatile there, to say the least. They continue to be volatile. Kind of give us the latest on the worries there and maybe what kind of an impact that's having here.
Well, the worries in Turkey is that the Turkish currency has been in a free fall and that there has been very little confidence in the administration in Turkey to put in place the difficult economic policies that may be necessary in order to shore up global confidence that the leadership in Turkey acknowledges these economic issues. I think for American investors, a couple of things to point out here, Cisco. One is the push and pull we're seeing in the Dow Jones Industrial and the S&P over the past couple of sessions, today especially, is American investors trying to figure out what does this mean domestically in the United States. We know that companies that certainly have some European exposure, obviously have Middle Eastern and Turkish exposure, are going to have perhaps some difficulty. But it's not a really meaningful part in terms of business fundamentals. Instead, it is the shadow that this casts over these global industrial businesses is one of concern. I think secondly, you're also talking about, generally speaking, emerging markets, which is a place that American investors have been looking for a little bit higher risk, certainly, and thus a higher return. With the Federal Reserve continuing to raise interest rates steadily here in the United States, that has put pressure on emerging market returns for investors in the United States. And then this Turkish issue begins to really kind of spoil the pot more broadly speaking, and have investors kind of move to the sidelines quickly when it comes to emerging markets. Even if it's just one country right now, that contagion risk and confidence is of really high mindset right now.
And that's enough for, what are we, down about 0.5% today on the Dow. That's enough to shift the markets that much, just one little area of the globe and the uncertainty that comes with it.
Yeah, a little bit of sentiment. Remember, we're talking about being down from close to record highs here in the United States, too. So we got to keep that in perspective, Cisco. But when uncertainty hits this market, the natural reaction for any kind of, I think, careful investor has been, let me move a little bit to the sidelines here, and let's let the news sort itself out before I decide where I want to be for my risk and reward tolerance.
Well, Tom, looking ahead to corporate earnings that'll be released this week, is there anything we can expect to see, anything out of the ordinary, or is it just going to be business as usual?
Miriam, I think that business as usual, which has been pretty good, actually. Business as usual has been good business. There's no doubt about it. Fundamentals of American business has been very strong. Profit fundamentals have been strong, and sales growth has been strong. I think what the Turkish issue brings up for investors this week, and you may hear a little bit of talk about this from some of the global companies reporting, is what does their business in Europe specifically look like? What does their business in any emerging markets specifically look like? And what kind of exposure do they have to foreign currency? Again, we're talking about stuff that may be on the edges of these business fundamentals, but nonetheless, that begins to creep into investor confidence and begins to creep into these investor calls where they're looking for confidence from business operators that the kinds of concerns we're seeing in the market being priced in because of Turkey are contained.
And is there anything we can expect from Home Depot?
Listen, Home Depot has been operating pretty well. It's been close to an all-time high, bouncing around here and there. The business has rebounded considerably over the past decade as it's reshaped itself and is obviously a barometer, not only on overall retail health, but more specifically on the real estate sector. And as home sales have stayed steady, as home prices have stayed steady, existing home sales especially have remained relatively strong, broadly speaking, across the board. That has spelled out pretty good business for Home Depot.
So if you're at Harley, got to be experiencing some reflux for sure. Is now the president's essentially applauding a boycott.
Yeah, boy. Harley Davidson, I think, is a wonderful example, Cisco, of the push and pull of the present administration in the White House. And on one hand, applauding this classic American-made company, but on the other hand, then falling victim to some of the trade policies, strong trade policies that the administration has been articulating. And investors don't like that kind of whipsaw reaction. I mean, you want more certainty to put your money on the line.
Tom Hudson, always good to have you on the show. Appreciate the insight. Tom is the Week Ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services based in Miami. Up next, shoppers are packing their baskets. Lots of back-to-school supplies and clothes.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Retailers are optimistic about not only back-to-school sales, but projections for the rest of the year. Let's get an update from Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide, based in New York. So, Jan, it's back-to-school, but it's not just back-to-school that's helping retailers.
Oh, back-to-school will be finishing up very strong. It's already started, of course. Inventories are in really good shape. I've been out in stores in Chicago a week ago, as well as stores out here. And the stores have been looking great. There's good traffic. It's really hard not to see the great economy affecting the stores. I mean, we're seeing record low unemployment, record employment. We're seeing rising wages. All things are good, and it's showing up in the stores as well as online, of course. But the stores have been struggling, and for the last 9 months or so now, the stores have been struggling a lot less. I think it's mostly due to a very strong consumer, but it's also due to the stores themselves getting smarter about how to deal with the consumer in this online omnichannel environment.
Well, what are some of the ways that they're doing that, getting smarter in dealing with the consumer?
Well, they finally figured out how to do buy online, pick up in store, return to store, curbside pickup, deliver from store, all the things that they should have been doing well for the last, 10 years if they wanted to be competitive against the online businesses. But they're getting much better at it. So if you're Kohl's or Macy's or your Walmart or any of those big retailers, they have figured out how to do this pretty well now and to do it relatively cost effectively, which has been the hard thing to do in the past. So they're doing a big online business now, whether it's all online or if it's delivered from the store. Depends on how the consumer wants to buy it, but they'll give it to you any way you want to buy it now, and they'll get it to you any way you want to receive it. And that's what the customer's been demanding. And so that's making them more competitive in the online business. Most of their business, if not all of their business, is still coming in online, but it's coming from traditional brick-and-mortar retailers in a lot of cases now.
Now, Jan, speaking of the brick-and-mortar retailers, I've noticed a lot of them slashing prices. Is that helping the retailers, or is it just something to get the consumers in the door?
Actually, you do see slashed prices, but right now, the promotional environment is less than it was this time last year, and it's been pretty measured all year long since fourth quarter of last year when we saw the strength really begin and the inventories become very well controlled. So we're about to see the second quarter, and then we'll see the third quarter here going up toward Christmas. And that will be one full year of better inventory management, better online selling by traditional retailers, and better performance by traditional retailers. So they won't anniversary that good news until the fourth quarter of this year. And then it'll be interesting to see if they can keep that run going. But all those things they did getting smarter as of the fourth quarter of last year have been showing benefits all through the beginning of this year and will for one more quarter at least. So yeah, I'm pretty optimistic right now on what we see out of all these retailers as they report here in the next week. I think we'll see strength out of Macy's, we'll see strength out of Kohl's, we're going to see strength out of Walmart, and those are things that we've been seeing now for, like I say, almost a year. So we're seeing better news with brick-and-mortar retailers. However, that doesn't change the fact that we're still going to see record bankruptcies in 2018 and record store closings in 2018. So the great economy is not saving everybody.
Thanks so much for the analysis, Jan Rogers Niffin, CEO of J. Rogers Niffin Worldwide. WBBM News Time, 12:25, a check of Wall Street. From Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the Dow is down 99 points, or 0.4%. NASDAQ giving back 10, and the S&P losing 7 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg down 0.7%. Crude oil futures are dropping more than 2% now to $66.13 a barrel, and gold prices have dipped below $1,200. We can check on the grains prices. For that, we turn to Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain markets started soft overnight this morning on follow-through selling from Friday's monthly supply-demand report. However, a good sell of corn and beans to Mexico generated some buying interest. And also, too, there's some ideas this afternoon's crop conditions report could show a little bit more deterioration in the good to excellent category. Corn futures are down 1 to 1.5. Soybeans are trading 3 to 4 cents higher. And the wheat market's down 13 to 14 cents. This is Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Kurt. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Miriam Sobe. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are lower to start the week. We'll see what's moving Wall Street.
It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get some suggestions from a money pro.
Investing is a key to long-term financial security. We'll identify some important strategies that can help make that happen.
A judge plans to allow cameras in the courtroom for most of the trial of the man accused in the 2013 killing of Hydea Pendleton in a Chicago park.
The FBI has fired an agent who once worked on special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation after he sent text messages criticizing President Trump.
WBBM business on the markets right now. The Dow is down 93 points. NASDAQ down 2. S&P down 5.
Beautiful day. Lots of sunshine. Hot, though. High of 90 degrees. Right now, 85 O'Hare, 84 Midway, and 82 degrees along Chicago's lakefront. The noon business hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Stocks are down at this hour. We're joined to talk about that and more by Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director at Heartland & Co., based in New York. Jim, what do you make of what's going on today?
Well, today is all about Turkey, the Turkish currency, and fears that if the currency and the economy in Turkey continue to weaken, it'll rattle the banking sector worldwide, because the Turkish banks owe a lot of money to a lot of banks and sovereign wealth funds overseas. But my experience is that it's during times like this in perceived crisis, when the basic economics are strong, that it pays to step to the plate. I think that Mr. Trump is using economics to wage a political battle. He does not want to drive the Turkish economy into the ground. They are a member of NATO and an ally. And I think this is brinkmanship, and everybody will pull back, and there will be a diplomatic solution at the right time. And then the financial markets can go on as normal, which is one of growth in the United States, moderate economic conditions, growing profits, growing revenues, and fair valuations. So I would use a period like today to accumulate stocks, not to sell them.
And you touched on banks. Is that one of the things that you might be accumulating, given what's going on in Turkey?
Yes, to the extent that they have gotten weak for this reason, that would be a reason to buy them. Also, as you have a period of economic growth and gradually rising interest rates, they should benefit. One caveat to that is the flattening of the yield curve recently has not been helpful to bank profits, but most people expect that flattening to cease sometime over the next couple of months and then to more normalize. So I think at these levels, banks are good absolute and risk-adjusted investment candidates.
So, Jim, middle of earnings season, still lots to come, of course, but what are you making so far?
Absolutely spectacular. Much better than people expected on both the earnings and revenue side. Likely to continue, though, at decelerating rates. Now, the conundrum is that because earnings are so strong this year, the comparisons next year are going to be difficult. It's going to be hard to show any kind of growth above and beyond what you have this year. So that's the negative. But right now, we should enjoy what we have, which is the best earnings season in a long time. And because of that earnings growth, stock valuations have become more attractive, actually, than they were at the beginning of the year, because earnings have grown so much.
So, Jim, let's talk oil. Is there any concern with Saudi Arabia and what's happening right now?
Well, no, I think that the case for oil going down or up a lot are not strong. I think what you're going to see is a relatively stable price. Prices are weak today because stockpiles, U.S. stockpiles were released, and they're up a lot. But I think the Saudis aren't going to want to disturb the price that much. The economics speak to a price that's relatively stable. So I don't think oil is going to be a factor that's going to drive the market either up or down. I think we have to look more at the economy, profits, interest rates, and valuation levels.
So you expect us maybe to continue like today, down 2.5%. It was down almost 3% at one point. You expect this yo-yo to go back and forth for a while?
Absolutely. In oil, I think you can expect that it'll be within a band, 5%, 7% of where it is, and will not be a significant investment factor. Again, as I said, the more important factors will be the basic economic factors that we use to judge the economy and the markets.
Given the uncertainty with Turkey and other places right now, what's your advice for investors?
Well, I've said that it pays to stay in, but to stay in respectfully, because we're in an aging bull market and an aging economy, and most people tend to want to increase their risk and lower their quality to squeak out extra returns in that period. And I would advise against that. You stay in, but you stay in with the highest quality. And get rid of your lower quality stocks, lower quality bonds, and focus on companies with unit growth, because we are in an aging point of the economic cycle. There's always the chance that these tariff disputes, political disputes, Mueller hearings do something to dent the economy. So you're going to want to stick with companies that are creating new markets, controlling their own destiny, and creating growth. So it remains a growth market, but you want to buy those stocks on days and weeks when they're down, not chase them when they've had significant short-term movements up.
A lot of people were saying because of that aging bull market, even a year or two ago, it's going to end at any moment now. Now, does this earnings season kind of push that a little further down the road?
Yeah, not yet. Not yet. You can see the seeds of what will end this market. You'll satisfy pent-up demand in the economy. Earnings comparisons will get difficult. Interest rates will inevitably be higher. Financial conditions will tighten, and it will be tough to make further progress in stock prices as that happens. But I think we're talking best crystal ball. I mean, you don't know, but best crystal ball is 2020. I think the momentum can carry forward in 18 and 19.
So, Jim, how big of an impact has the president's tax cuts had on this earnings season?
They've been significant. And that's the case of some of the more cautious investors, is that that's because they've contributed to such strong growth. Earnings growth will be more subdued, and economic growth will be more subdued going forward. And there is a point to that. And also the fact that wages are now growing at a rate less than inflation is a subduing factor. And those are two reasons that would support my thesis that while the lines of least resistance remain up, they're moderately up, and one that should be treated with respect and caution in terms of the quality of what you own, but that basically the vital signs for the markets and the economy remain positive in spite of the negatives that we can discuss.
Always appreciate the great information. Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director at Heartland & Co. in New York. Coming up, why it makes sense to invest now.
A wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Starting an investment plan early can be a financial game changer. Let's get some help from Mark Horner, wealth advisor, Fairhaven Wealth Management, based in Oak Brook. His website, fairhavenwealth.com. All right, Mark, as we talk about people investing younger and the significant impact that it has, we got some tips for people here, but just how big of an impact is it to get started earlier?
It's, Cisco, a huge impact. And maybe even before we go into that, I think it's important for anybody getting started investing early to really understand what their expectations should be. Because, you look at headlines day to day, and you can find the stock market maybe a little bit scary. But going back to 1926, if you held your investments for 10 years, you made money 95% of the time. If you held your investments for 20 years, again, this is back to 1926, for a 20-year period, you made money 100% of the time. So when we're thinking about investing, does involve risk, but when we're thinking about saving and investing with long-term goals in mind, things like retirement down the road, and investing maybe is a lot less riskier than people might think. But yeah, the power of starting early. So if a person started saving $8 a day at age 25 and got a market return, by the time that they were ready to retire, they could expect to have about $1 million saved. If instead that person waited, they're 25 years old, investing, retirement's a long way off, I'm going to wait a little bit. If they waited until age 35, that same $8 a day turns into less than $500,000. Waiting 10 years cost them over $500,000. And that's just, again, starting investing $8 a day. The power of getting started early and the penalty that you pay for waiting, it just cannot be overestimated.
Mark, let's talk savings accounts. A lot of people might think having a savings account equals investing.
So, Miriam, that's a great distinction, because there was a recent survey about the millennial generation, who often gets a bad rap, that they're actually doing a better job than most other generations in terms of saving. Where they are, so that's great step one. Where they're struggling a little bit, though, is getting that savings actually invested into the stock market, where they're lagging most generations, and so they're being too conservative. And that's really why I led with that information about what sort of investment returns have people experienced going back a long time. It's easy to get scared by the stock market when you look at it day to day, but if you keep your eye focused on a long term long-term time horizon, getting invested, and so putting that savings to work in the stock market, whether that's using mutual funds or exchange-traded funds, getting it invested is a critical step two.
What about the fact that, you know, a lot of people might think, I want my money now. It's so hard to be patient. How can we focus on the future and saving money for those big ticket items we might want in the future?
Yeah. So I think there the answer is just balance. And so it's important not to put all of your savings into investments that might be difficult or financially painful to get out of. And so things like 401k plans, Roth IRAs, those are fabulous investment vehicles that should probably be part of just about anybody's financial plan. But if you want to get money out of those types of investments before you hit certain ages, which are closer to retirement, there can be penalties and taxes. And so a way to deal with that is to split your savings. And so go ahead and take advantage of, say, your company offers a match in the 401k plan. They put dollars in. Every time you put dollars in, maybe you put in enough to take advantage of the match because you don't want to pass up free money. And then you also put a little savings aside in a regular savings account or a brokerage account that's more easily accessed if you ever need to get your hands on that money. So striking a balance, I think, is the way to deal with that.
Yeah, do it early for sure. Thanks. Mark Horner, Wealth Advisor, Fairhaven Wealth Management in Oak Brook. Website, fairhavenwealth.com. This time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday here on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. John Beaver is joining us, president of Phase 3 Advisory Services, also registered principal with Royal Alliance Associates, based in Buffalo Grove. John, welcome to the program. So what's your first pick?
Well, our first pick today is Five Below. We're looking at consumer staples and discount retail. Consumer is spending, and I don't see any reason for that to stop. So Five Below, the interesting tween and teen shop where candy is still popular and they can spend a little bit of money and get something. They've got 630 stores right now in 32 states with plans to open another 125 in this year. So they've got room to grow here.
Okay, so 104, where do you think it's going?
Well, I would look right now at 120 by the end of the year. It's basing right now. It ran up. Good earnings announcement last quarter. Stock got a little bit ahead of itself. The key here is, are they going to continue to be able to grow the stores? So Dollar Tree and Dollar General combined have about 30,000 stores in the U.S. Five Below, it is a different experience, but clearly there's room to add more stores with only 630 right now in 32 states.
Okay, John, so we've heard about Five Below. What's your second pick?
Second pick, Kraft Heinz. Local company here in Chicago, they spun off Mondelez in 2012, subsequent merger back with Heinz. Berkshire Hathaway arranged that. It is now the fifth largest food and beverage company in the world. Now, the younger generation, as we've talked about them with Five Below, they are more health conscious, but they're still lean on cash. They like these meal kits, but as they start their families, they're going to do more meal prep at home. So with that, we've got room for Kraft Heinz to move into healthier foods on the package side. They're starting to do that. In fact, my last trip to the grocery store, I just picked up some organic ketchup from Heinz. If stock is basing between 54 and 64, it is cheap compared to the market, bargain, trailing PE of 7, forward PE of 15. So with a dividend yield of just over 4%, you could buy it here, or you could wait for the breakout above 64, but I like buying it here. And I like the two together because they're two very different stories. I have to give full disclosure on Five Below. I have shopped there myself for my middle school Sunday school class. My oldest daughter with kids, she's starting to shop there, and it is very interesting going in the store, watching what's going on. You got these giggling tweens that are all excited about spending their $5.
All right, John, appreciate it. Two picks today. Five Below is one. That's ticker symbol Five, F-I-V-E, and Kraft Heinz, ticker symbol K-H-C. Appreciate the picks. John Beaver, president of Phase 3 Advisory Services. Check of the markets from Bloomberg next.
A look at the markets now. Here's Lisa Parente.
Miriam, we're coming back from deeper losses. The Dow is still lower by 77 points. NASDAQ down just 3 now. S&P off 6. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg falling 0.2%. Wall Street is watching Europe because Turkey is on the verge of financial collapse and because shares of Germany's Bayer were dropping. Monsanto is part of Bayer now, and Monsanto on Friday was hit with a nearly $300 million verdict in a cancer case against the company's Roundup herbicide. And it was just the first. Thousands of Roundup-related lawsuits have yet to go on trial. The losses on Wall Street would be worse were it not for Apple, that stock climbing to another record, cementing its status as a trillion-dollar company. With Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.